Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. George Carlin, he was a comedian a long time ago who wrote a funny piece one time entitled Stuff. Now, I had to take out a few naughty words, but I think that hearing just the beginning of it might help you understand today's topic about finding simplicity in our lives. I want you to see if any of this little comedic thing is true for you, or maybe you see it's true for other people. That's the whole meaning of life, finding a place for your stuff. I need a place for my stuff, you know. That's all, a little place for my stuff. That's all I want, that's all you need in life, is a little place for your stuff. This is my stuff, that's your stuff, that'll be his stuff over there. That's all your house is, really. Just a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You can see that when you're taken off in an airplane. You look down, you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. All the little piles of stuff. And when you leave your stuff, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They never bother with the bad stuff that you're saving. Nobody's interested in your fourth grade arithmetic papers. All they want is the shiny stuff. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Sometimes you gotta move, gotta get a bigger house because, well, you've got too much stuff. No room for your stuff anymore. And maybe you have to put some of your stuff in storage. It's amazing they have a whole industry dedicated just to having people keeping an eye on the stuff that you don't want anymore. The only stuff that you keep at home is the stuff you know you're gonna actually need. I'm just gonna stop there, but I think there's a lot of truth to that little comedy. As we continue to make our way through the Bible this year, we've come to the book of 1 Timothy. Timothy was written by St. Paul to his younger protege, Timothy, about how to lead a church, but it also talks about how to lead a content and happy life. In the sixth chapter, St. Paul explains the importance of finding contentment in life, and even though he doesn't use the word simplify, much of what he's talking about is the importance of seeking simplicity, or in the words of George Carlin, having less stuff. Here's the reading. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Notice that St. Paul isn't saying that a rich person is less godly than a poor person, okay? But when we're just trying to get rich and piling up more and more stuff, we can easily fall into temptation, and that becomes a problem. The love of money, not money itself, but the unhealthy preoccupation with money is a root, it's the beginning of all kinds of evil. Having more stuff in and of itself isn't bad, but having more stuff can lead to idolatry and even just to a much more complicated life. You know who doesn't worry about the stock market? People who don't have stocks. Think about it. But if you're a multimillionaire with lots and lots of money in the stock market, yeah, you get nervous when there's a depression. Because if you need to take that money out, you will have lost a lot of money. You know who doesn't worry about their cars being stolen? People with old, cruddy cars. People with expensive cars, they worry about it. You never see someone with a really old car parking double parked in two parking lot spaces. It's always those expensive cars that they don't want someone to hurt their paint job. Same thing with houses. If you lived in a hut somewhere, you wouldn't really be that preoccupied with someone breaking in. Would you buy a state-of-the-art security system? Probably not. When Jesus told us to not worry, one of the best ways of putting this concept into practice is to strive to lead a simpler life. Have less stuff. Find contentment with what you have already been given. Now, a couple of years back at Okoboji Lutheran Bible Camp, we went to family camp one summer, and our speaker for the week is a pastor at Church of the Cross in Altoona, Nathan Annenson. Actually, if you were here when his father is Stefan Annenson, who was a guest pastor. But he was the speaker that week, and he talked one day about finding simplicity in our lives. He quoted an author named Victor Lebow from the book Price Competition. Here's the quote. "Our enormously productive economy demands that we make consumption our way of life, that we convert the buying and use of goods into rituals, that we seek our spiritual satisfaction in consumption. We need to have people eat, drink, dress, ride, live with ever more complicated and therefore constantly more expensive consumption." In contrast, Pastor Annenson maintains that Jesus called us to a joyful life of carefree unconcern for possessions. Because when your identity and security is in Jesus Christ, possessions can take their proper place in your life. Important, but not more important than they need to be. Again, having stuff isn't bad, it's not wrong, but having less stuff might help you find your identity in Jesus rather than in your stuff. Pastor Annenson explained that there are really two types of simplicity, inner simplicity and then outer simplicity. Inner simplicity involves three main things: humility, trust, and generosity. Humility. What do I mean by humility? To recognize that everything you have is a gift from God. That's humility. A trust means to recognize that it's God's business, not yours, to take care of what you have. And generosity is about having your stuff available to others if the need arises. Cultivating the characteristics of humility, trust, and generosity can help you live a happier, a simpler, a more content life. Humility, it recognizes that while you may work very, very hard, and that you're very smart, and that you're very skilled, that the things you have are still gifts from God. Yet we often feel like we earned all of it. And it's ours. Nobody else gets that stuff. We deserve it. And so we begin to identify as the owners rather than the receivers. And this can easily lead to self-righteousness, justifying lots of odd decisions that we make with our stuff. You know, when the colonists first came to this country, the Native Americans didn't have the same understanding of private property. So often, I find that history books make the earliest settlers look like they were pulling one over on the native people when they would trade like beads and different kinds of foods in exchange for land. But what they don't explain is that Native Americans were actually the ones who felt like they, at the time, were getting a better deal because they didn't believe anyone could actually own the land. That just didn't even make sense. And that is actually much closer to the Christian idea of property. We don't own this stuff. It's God's. We're just taking care of it for the time being. Now, trust means that we have been given something precious, that our time, our possessions, even our family, But that we don't have to spend our time worrying about these things because they're, again, they're God's. So he cares about these things even more than we do. Sometimes I worry about my kids. I worry about what's happening to them. I worry about the things that they're doing. And then God convicts me, especially during my prayer time, and reminds me, as much as you love your children, Stephen, I love them more. He's reminding me that he's the one who's in control. He's reminding me that my worrying isn't going to change anything, that he is already caring about this stuff. And at first, it's kind of frustrating because I want to be in control. But when you start embracing this concept to trust God with everything, well, it's actually very freeing because then you just say, you know what, God, I couldn't handle it anyway. Thank you for taking care of these things, every part of my life. Finally, generosity. Generosity means that since everything you have is a gift from God that he's in charge of, you're free to share those things when you see that there's a need. Because those things aren't your things in the end. You're not losing anything by giving away something when you recognize that someone else needs it more. Because it's just stuff. And Jesus says that God will provide for us just like he provides beauty for the flowers and food for the birds in the air. Now, flowers and birds aren't nearly as important to God as you are, okay? So if you can trust God to take care of the little things like flowers or the things that are unimportant like birds, well, then he's saying you can count on him even more to take care of you because you are the apple of his eye. Sometimes the way to find this inner simplicity is by doing some practical things to achieve outer simplicity. The things that we can see in our life sometimes changes how we're feeling and how we're living our life on the inside. So one example I thought I would use is in our family. Christy has been both a stay-at-home mom sometimes as well as taking a job working outside of the home. And along the way, we've had to discern what was best for her to do at the time. Maybe you remember for 1 year, we owned the newspaper, the Fontenelle Observer, because we were raising money to adopt little Stephen. So, because our finances, we just knew we were gonna have to make more money, so we decided to have her work. But I remember this time, we did have more money, and that made us more secure financially. I also remember our lives were just crazy. They were just so hectic. I mean, she was working all the time. And so there were a lot of things that she would do at home that she just didn't have time to do anymore. So it just, our life felt so complicated, even though in some ways it was supposed to be simpler. What I know is that after paying for childcare, new clothes for work, eating out more, the increase in taxes, paying for gas, that a lot of families find that they just can't afford to have somebody else working outside of the home. It's actually much simpler, we've often found, for Christy to work from home because there's a lot of things that just don't get done if she's not there. But see, I think that our society seems to make us believe that the only way to live is with a complicated life with a lot more stuff. But maybe, I'm just saying, maybe that's wrong. Maybe. It's worth at least taking a look at your life and seeing if a little more simplicity would be a blessing. I remember in high school, I was involved in everything. I was involved in every sport that I could be. I was involved in Quiz Bowl. I was involved in like the choir and band. And I was constantly getting something to fill out to miss class. And I had one teacher, his name, well, I shouldn't say his name, might be watching, who knows. But he was my science teacher and the only teacher to give me anything less than an A, which gave me less than a 4.0, B plus in botany. But the reason he gave me a B+ is because I was gone from class so much. And I said, well, that's not my fault. I'm involved in everything. That's a good thing, right? And he's like, well, I mean, it's good in one way, but I guess you're just making a trade-off. Now you've got a B+ for it. I always thought that was kind of unfair. But in a way, he was right. I mean, my life was so complicated that I just didn't have enough time to spend learning about botany, I guess, and what about trees and leaves, this kind of thing. There's a lot of times where the things in our life complicate our life and become maybe too important to us. I mean, it's not just our houses. I mean, around here, I think it's farms. I think farms can feel very overwhelming for people because you work so hard at it. And even though you know that the land is God's and you know that you can't control the weather, we get so wrapped up in what's going on there. And it becomes so important. I don't know how many people have told me that they just can't make it to church because they've got so much work at the farm. And I get it, but I also hear stories. I hear stories from people that say it used to be back decades ago, people just didn't work on Sundays. They just didn't do that. They didn't work on. I heard stories about this. But I think that our society has made us feel bad if we're not working on the stuff that we have. Because if we didn't do it, nothing would happen. I'd like to maintain that actually God's in charge of our houses and our farms and our families and our lives. And that those things that are so important that we work so hard at can become too important and push out the room that we need to leave for God in our lives. What if you went through your house today or this week and you got rid of some things that you just don't need anymore? By decluttering your house, you might be unintentionally decluttering your heart and your mind and your life. Having less stuff might help you find more room for God in your life. I mean, if you have a storage shed or something like this, a storage area that you're paying $50, $75 a month for, and you haven't touched that stuff in like 5 to 10 years, maybe you don't actually need it anymore. And if you got rid of it, well, you'd not only simplify your budget, you'd have more money in your household budget, but you'd have less to worry about in the future. Many of us spend a lot of time and energy worrying and being anxious. What might happen if you worked to simplify your life, especially with your time and with your possessions? Now, maybe you could live without some things. Maybe you'd be happier if you did. Maybe not. But it's a worthwhile question to ask. Because we often crave things we don't need, and sometimes we crave things that we don't actually enjoy. We just feel like we have to do it. Or we try to impress people that we don't even like by buying things that we don't even want. So feel free this week to simplify your life, even in very small ways, and you might find that there's joy hidden underneath all of that extra stuff. I hope that you'll realize that you actually don't need more stuff to be happy, that sometimes you actually just need less. Amen.